And I'm reading from James chapter 2, and I'm starting at verse 1. And the heading is Favoritism Forbidden. My brothers and sisters, as believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, don't show favoritism. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in shabby clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, "Here's a good seat for you," but say to the poor man, "You stand there," or "Sit on the floor by my feet," have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my dear brothers and sisters. Has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised those who love him? But you have insulted the poor. Is it not the rich who are exploiting you? Are they not the ones who are dragging you into court? Are they not the ones who are slandering the noble name of him to whom you belong? If you keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing right. But if you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. For whatever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. For he who said, "Do not commit adultery," also said, "Do not murder." So if you do not commit adultery, but you do murder, you become a lawmaker. Speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom, because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Sally's going to come and speak to us now. Father, thank you for Sally. We thank you for all that she's giving us at this time. And we just pray for her this morning as she shares this word. Please bless her, Lord, as she speaks. Please use her words to go straight into our hearts so that we hear your voice. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Lovely to see you all this morning, bright and early. Now, the letter of James. I want to jump back to the first chapter to start off with. And I want to just read a little bit of that to give a bit of context. So it starts, "My brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of any kind, consider it nothing but joy. Because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its full effect, so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing." So let's have that in mind. Whenever you face trials of any kind, consider it nothing but joy. Now that's a challenge, isn't it? So let's have that in mind as we go into thinking about our reading this morning. Because the focus that I want to look on is the focus of the service today, favoritism forbidden. And there was within that reading, wasn't there, an example of not having favoritism. So Charles is here. Yeah, Charles said the other week, and I loved it because I used to watch this, and used to watch Brute Force Fight, and I loved how you always used to say, "You're my favourite," and it was so lovely to hear Charles say that the other day. "You're my favourite." And he did. He said it to absolutely everyone. "You're my favourite. Don't tell anyone else. You're my favourite." And that fits so beautifully with this, doesn't it? Favouritism forbidden. "You're all my favourite," said Bruce. And we can listen and smile at Bruce. Because James, in that reading, in that message to those early Christians, had a really stark message. He had one then, he has one now. Who do we take notice of? We hear, don't we, of the rich, nicely dressed person and then the person who's in dirty clothes, dishevelled, smelly perhaps, don't know. Just not the sort of, oh gosh, no. Who do we spend time with? Who do we sit next to on the train? How do we feel when we're approached by someone who is dishevelled and dirty? How do we feel? It's a hard one. It's a really hard one. Keep safe, we tell those that we love. Look after yourself. Keep close to your children when we see someone unfamiliar or not so good looking approaching us. Loving everyone, loving our loved ones. Being safe, protecting each other. Yet, as James is saying, favouritism forbidden. It's complicated, isn't it? It's complicated. We hear in verse 4, have you not made distinctions amongst yourself? Oof, distinctions amongst ourselves. There's us and there's them. There's me and there's you. There's me and you and then the other yous that aren't like me. It's complicated. It's complicated. It touches my heart very, very much. I wrote a doctorate thesis, which you're very welcome to read any time you fancy. It's about that thick. It's ginormous. And that was the focus of it. So to read that this morning, to be reading this morning and to my preparation for this, I can't help but just share a little bit, some of the tidbits from my research. And as you'll know, I've been a psychologist for donkey's years. And when you look at human development from birth, when we're born, we have no distinction about ourselves in comparison to where we finish and where the rest of the world and everything else starts. That doesn't come when we're first born. It comes with development. We get that feeling of, I stop here, and then there's everything else. I'm not born with that. So just imagine that point of when. You won't remember. We don't remember this because it's when we were tiny, tiny. But that point whereby we realise we finish and the rest of the world is there. Oh, how scary is that? How scary is it? When we realise that we are separate from everything else. How do we manage? How do you manage that? It's just too complicated, isn't it? No wonder babies cry. Gives me real empathy for mine when they used to cry and cry and cry and used to think, oh, stop crying. But just think the world they've come into. It's just, oh, gosh, when they get that realisation. Cool. So what we do naturally when we get to that point and the world in its complexity, as we encounter it, starts to make a tiny little bit of sense. We make things simple. So you will remember, like I remember probably, little ones that you've known grow up, they make distinctions. So everything, this is from my experience, everything that has four legs is a dog. Whether it's a sheep or a camel or a horse or anything, it's a dog. Because that's a way of making sense of the world. It's not the truth. Not the truth that we enable it to be as we get more mature, because we make further distinctions, don't we? I bet you've got lovely memories of little ones that you've known where they've done just that. They made the world simpler in their quest to make sense of just too much. Yeah. And we do that ourselves as well. We do it naturally when we're younger. We make distinctions between me, us, and them. I'm like this. You're like this. You're not. It's what we do. And it's a way of trying to make sense. It's trying to manage the complexity. It comes with our human development. It comes with our ability to manage. Because if every single thing we encounter is new and different and unique, because it is, and every person is unique, you can't, it's too much, it's overwhelming, it's too much. So we do make categories, we do make distinctions, it's part of our development. And when we're little, we laugh, it's funny. When we're older, it can have really serious consequences, can't it? Look at our world and its divisions. Look at how we as humans, as individuals, and humans as countries and nations, look at the difficulties we come across when we have those distinctions. But it's complicated. As we grow, we take on more. As we grow the complexity, we can stand back from it. We can see. And we can be more mindful. And we can break away from the simple. But it's not always easy. It's not easy. So let's go back to that first chapter. Whenever you face trials of any kind, consider it nothing but joy, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its full effect, so you may be mature and complete. And we sit here today in church listening to God's word and hearing what there is to say. We hear in verse 9, don't we? You shall love your neighbour as yourself. And then in verse 10 and 13, that the law, the commandments, come as one block. We can't follow one part and leave the other. No. We can't commit adultery but yet murder and say, well, follow the commandments. No, they come together. And so does, you shall love your neighbour as yourself. That is a challenge. Isn't it? The passage tells us to love all. The person with fine clothing, the rich, those who aren't rich, those who are poor, and what that brings, those who are struggling, those on the margins of society. The following verses from the passage today give us clarity about what we can do. It's touched on a little, but it's further on. In the Revised Standard Version of the Bible, it's titled, Faith Without Works is Dead. We heard in verse 14, what good is it, my brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith, but you do not have works? Can faith save you? Verse 16, if someone has no clothes and no food and you say, go in peace, keep warm, eat your fill, and you do not supply their bodily needs, what is the good of that? Faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead, we hear. And we know as well, don't we? We know that in our hearts. And we look to Jesus' life. He showed us a living example. God came to earth and showed us in living day-to-day life faith with works. He showed us about loving our neighbours. And his parables gave us so much insight. If you stay to the 10:45... You won't, but if you did, you're going to see. Look, here we go. I wonder if you can guess. We've got a stole. We've got a very fancy briefcase. We've got a rucksack with some bandages and a glass of, and some water in it. And we've got some fancy bags. We're going to act out the Good Samaritan. Yeah. So I'm hoping there's quite a few children. If there's not, some adults are going to have to act out the Good Samaritan. So if you stay on, you might be called to act out the Good Samaritan. What a message in that parable, which fits so, so well into what we've read today. Another, other examples of Jesus' life. The woman at the well. The Last Supper. All those called, and we're called. All of us. The rich, the poor, the dishevelled, those on the margin, were all called to Jesus' Last Supper. And the breadth of company Jesus kept. He wasn't with the rich and the famous. He wasn't sparkling in those scenes. He could have done. But no, he was with the marginalised, the unclean, the leopards, the fringes of society. Faith with works. Living example. Jesus' living example. God on earth showing us. So let us live our faith with works. Let's face those trials. Let's let our faith be tested. Let's be challenged. Who do we help? Who do we keep company with? How can we use our own resources? For who? When? Our church resources. We've got a warm. We've got a warm house, haven't we? We've got a church that is kept above freezing throughout the whole year. It's not boiling, but it's above freezing. We have to, David will tell you, we have to, because otherwise the stoneware just doesn't manage because of the nature of our stones. We have got warm water. We've got warm water at home. We have resources. Others don't. We're challenged. It's a trial. I've read in the news this week, museums and libraries are going to start opening in the winter months to enable people who just haven't got warmth in those cold months to come and know they can be above freezing. It's a trial, it's a challenge. What about this building? Should it be open in the cold months for those who just can't afford to keep warm? Should the kettle be on to give a warm drink to warm people through? Should we be here during the day on a rota? Should we be here during the night on a rota? What do we do with our time? What do we do with our money? As a church, as people, what do we do with our resources? It's a trial, it's a challenge, but we're in trial in challenging times. And yet, how do we balance? How do we balance our family, our friends, with those unlike us, those strangers? Those unlike us who are probably very poor, very cold, very hungry. It's not easy. It's not easy, and I have not got straightforward answers. But together, we perhaps will have. So I ask you to pray about the message today. I ask you to pray about that thought that... Let me read it, because you can't say it any better than it is. Whenever you face trials of any kind, consider it nothing but joy. Because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let it have its full effect, so we can be mature and complete and lack nothing. Not easy. So let us pray. Let us pray with all that in our hearts. Let us keep praying. about all that we've heard, about our human development, about the way that God made us, and about the way that God showed us in Jesus' life, his life. And let us show his love through our lives and our good works, not just through our mouths, but by actions. In prayer, Lord, we lift to you all that challenges us, all the trials that we face. We lift them in faith. We lift them in faith in our prayers to you. May we hear your guidance upon what we do. May we follow your commandments. May we live our faith with works that are good. May we mature and be complete, lacking nothing. Let our faith grow, Lord. Let our faith grow.